Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Saved and Sassy podcast with myself, Randy Mendez, and my co-host, Crystal Riley. It is Monday morning post-resurrection Sunday, and we are so excited to get to be here. And I think our topic is so applicable. Today, we're going to be diving into Matthew 11, 28, and really just talking about, learning to rest. And I feel like so many women and so many moms, especially coming off of, holiday weekends and coming into a Monday and, especially if you're a career mom, you can kind of feel that, right? Like, how many times have you ever said, Crystal, like, okay, well, I'm ready for a vacation for my vacation, or I'm ready for a vacation for my holidays.
Yes. We pack it all in, right? I think that, I've really been working on changing my vocabulary on that. And I don't use the word busy anymore. I use productive because I just think that there's 168 hours in a week. And if we calculate that down, and I won't bore you with the details, but we have plenty of time. We choose what's our priorities. And so, I don't know. So I've been really working on how I word things to be more productive. And I think with that shift, it's kind of helped me not feel crazy, overwhelmed, maybe not crazy.
Right. I shared a reel yesterday. He had been doing some stirring inside of me and around Holy Week in general, but in general, the reel that I shared yesterday really talked about how God has walked me through a process of hosting no longer becoming exhausting. And my focus around hosting changing, I was definitely guilty of being like the crazy, insane mom behind the scenes, like trying to get the house perfect, trying to and I was extra. I'm like, I used to always even say, like, if I need to get projects done around the house, then I set an event. Like I set have an event at my house, because then I got my husband working, I got my kids working, everything's getting done, like all the things. And there's nothing wrong with that in general. But when it starts to become heavy and it starts to impede, the quality of relationships, and you start to carry that burden and that weight, then we're moving away. And, and I've actually discovered that, hosting is one of my giftings. And I was so focused on the commercialized components of holidays and of hosting that I had kind of forgot. And honestly, I don't know how much I had ever fully experienced being hosted, where it was more focused on the experience that was not tied to materials. Does that make sense? And like cosmetics and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say all of that to say that, this weekend, my whole heart was to really prepare something that was reminiscent, as reminiscent as you can possibly be, but that would, actually bring a conversation of like, what was Jesus's table like? What was the Last Supper like? Think questions like that. And so it was like, it was just, it has continued to be, thankfully, it's been probably 4 or 5 years, maybe in 6 years at this point, where God had really changed my heart around this stuff. But then this weekend, it was like that next level of like, I want my guests, which are just my children, the people that live in my home, but they're still my guests. I want them to experience something different. I want the conversation to be, around this. And I actually went even thrift store shopping with my grandkids. And I was like, what do you think you would have seen on a table, for Jesus? And so we're like picking out certain things. And anyways, it was just really, really fun. And so I loved reading in Matthew where it's like, acknowledging our burdens and taking time to identify the challenges and the things that are weighing us down, because 90% of what weighs us down, friend, are not necessary. Like, they're burdens that we take up that shouldn't be something we take up, right?
Yeah. Years ago, I have a really good friend, because I used to have to think everything had to be perfect, right? Or my version of perfect. And a shift in my perspective was, instead of saying my house is like messy, I mean, it's never been dirty. I don't have like a dirty house, but it would be full or whatever. Anyway, she said my house is well loved in. So instead of me thinking I got to clean all the stuff off the counters and do all the things, right? Because that's a burden, right? I do it before the housekeeper comes, right? Or before company comes, because, anyways, just weird things that people do. I'm very strange, but I think it's important to surrender that and then and live in your home as well, loved in, and creating those memories. It's far more important than all the little details that nobody really cares about. And you and I are probably much more detail oriented than other, not everybody, but other people maybe in our families. And they don't see those little tiny touches that are important to us, but, and surrendering those, like I love eating on fancy dishes. I always have. It's one of my favorite things. So when I host, I get excited because I get to bring out the fancy china. But nobody else cares. My family's like, why do you do that? It's so much work. You have to wash dishes before, you have to wash them after, and they're all by hand. You can't put them in the dishwasher. It's like, well, because I like eating on pretty plates.
Right.
So I have an insane amount of dishes. I won't even tell you how many dishes, but in my main everyday dishes, I have dishes that are mine that I eat on, and they're like pretty butterflies and flowers. And then my family eats on white ones, just plain white ones. And they're not allowed.
My husband, I have a specific plate that one of my best friends got me that actually has, you know, Luke 1:37, which is on my arm, which is one of my favorite Bible verses. So the plate actually has the verse on it, and my husband serves me dinner on that plate probably 5 out of 7 nights a week. Like, he's like, that's mom's plate. Nobody else uses that plate. That's my plate. So yes, we remain the same human, but you said something really powerful. And so one of the things that we always want to do with our listeners, is we want to make sure that you have action steps that you can put into play, and that you can come here, you can show up as you are, and you can get refilled, and then go and take, you know, things that we discuss and apply them in life. And so really diving into Matthew 11:28, what you hit on, Crystal, is surrendering that control, right? Recognizing that it's okay to relinquish control over things that are beyond our power to change. And then I think the next key component is really trusting in God. So we do care about the details. And, you know, I will not say that in the last 30 years, I've never had a breakdown for like the most random detail. I definitely absolutely have. My sister, another story, another podcast, but my sister's actually in prison, and she has said to me on multiple occasions during holidays and during parties, and she's been there for like 7 years. So she has not experienced the reformed Randy, we'll say, when it comes to parties. But so many times she has said to me, I wish I was just home. I would rather be being yelled at by you. I'd rather you be being Hitler right now before a party than be here. And so I'm, number one, so thankful that she's going to get to experience something different when she comes home. But number two, back to your point, the surrendering of control can be really hard, especially for those of us who, you know, we do, part of our love language is creating that experience, and we do hyper focus, because for someone who eats on a specific plate, you know, the setting around them, their table, the way things are, all of those things impact our experience. And so when we're doing that, our heart is in the right place. We're just wanting to create that same experience that we enjoy for another person. So our heart is in the right place, but we have to really sit. And this goes back to where I started with Matthew, is acknowledging the burdens and identifying the specific challenges, right? So if our heart is that we want somebody to experience something, and we can say, okay, you know what? I'm actually going to release control on this. I'm going to give up the dishes, or, you know, whatever it is. Like for me, you know, I'm going to give up the going extra mile, whatever it is, right? We give it up, but then we have to trust in God that person's experience is going to be everything we want it to be, and even some, because he can deliver so much more beyond what we can deliver, right? And so we have to trust in that regardless of the plate, regardless of the play setting, regardless, I mean, you know, I put all the food on the table yesterday, Crystal, because, you know, that's how it would have been for the Last Supper, right? And normally we make the plates. And so it was like, you know, and I've got a little mini grandchild who loves to decorate. And so we did the table great together, but she loves to go right behind me in anything I do, put her own spin on it. And so I was like, is this even a good idea? And you know what? It was perfect. It was perfect because I had just surrendered control. I was like, this is going to be whatever God wants it to be. And I couldn't believe how many times my family, which this was a win in itself, because again, the experience was creating heightened awareness of Jesus. And that's exactly what I wanted to do, especially on Resurrection Sunday. But my family just kept saying, is this supposed to feel like the Last Supper? I feel like this is what the Last Supper felt like. Do you think this is what the Last Supper felt like?
That's awesome.
So I think you hit the nail on the head with surrender control. What else would you say? Well, you know what? You actually said it, Crystal. You know what else you alluded to? You said it was a friend that helped you, right? You said it was a friend that helped you with her wording. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what also Matthew 11:28 talks about, is seeking support, reaching out to trusted friends, family members, and even a support group. And I think, you know, I mean, Crystal and I are so excited to have this podcast because in many senses, this is a support group for us. Like we've always had convictions in real time, but we get to sit here and we get to have a conversation. And 90% of the time our conversation is done on this podcast and is transparent, but there's a good handful of times that, you know, there's a 15-minute conversation later in the week, or there's 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after, where it's one of us saying to the other one, you know, hey, like, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that, or maybe you shouldn't exist, or maybe that's not what God's calling you to say. And it really is having that support that can say, all right, friend, it's still going to be amazing. It's going to be everything. You know, like I had to stop myself yesterday. So you have China. I have a Connex box. I have a shipping container at my house that has all the things. And I was like, Jordy, can you go to the shipping container? I need to create elevation on the table. I need these wood crates. And can you go get me these wood? And she just looked at me. And then like a second time, I was like, so are we heading out to the shipping container? Mind you, it was freezing yesterday. It was like snowing. And it was like, and so I didn't want to go to the shipping container. And I didn't even know specifically what I wanted. But I wanted her to go find the shipping container. When she didn't go, I was like, you know what? It's fine. I just need a little elevator. And then she looked, and lo and behold, in the house, I had stuff. But I really think you're really onto two really powerful points, which is the control and the support.
It is. I mean, the surrendering, it's so interesting because I've let go of so much control over the years, but I still have a lot of family that doesn't see me as I've grown. They see me as in the past, which is fine. Oh, okay. That's a whole nother 7 podcasts, at least. So, but it's, I really have surrendered that control, and I don't, you know, I've learned to like ask for help, and I feel like I've always been able to ask for help, but I have a lot of family that doesn't seem to think so. But when people come over to experience those meals and to experience things, I want it to be an experience for them. I don't want them to come over and think that they have to work, and they don't quite grasp that concept. And it's a really big, huge battle. And so I've learned to, okay, so I know certain people are coming over. Okay. I need to be able to give them something to do. So then last year, like I made a to-do list. I'm like, here's the entire list. Please take whatever you want to do, plant the plants. I guess there was a lot that needed to be done. Do all, you know.
You and I are the same human. We're re-landscaping before this event.
Now, the event is in 12 hours, and we have to.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And I'm so thankful for a big family and lots of people that get to come and come together, and they do all want to help. And so it works. But there's always 7 million things to do. And I've learned if it doesn't get done, it's okay too.
Yes, that's the power.
It's just whatever God wants is what's going to happen. And so it's, that place is such a peaceful place to live in. Yes. You know, I still want everything to be like perfect and pretty, or as perfect as I think it should be. But it's not reality, right? There's only one perfect person, that's Jesus. And so I get to just live with that.
Right. You're going to sit in the reality of no matter what, your flesh is not going to make it. But you said something else that was really powerful too, which was like, it made me think, so many times when we can change perspective, we experience things. You know how many times I go to somebody's house that is so different than mine, or I go to somebody's event that is doing something that I would have never done, but then I go to it and I'm like, dang, I really like this. Or I see something, I'm like, I really loved how they did this, or I really loved how they did that, or I really love the simplicity of this, or this or that. Again, we get so taken back with like the big picture stuff that we forget God is in the details. Like we are worried about 500 detail. We're worried about 500 things. And God's going to give somebody the heart and the vision for one thing that's for them. And so it's like, we probably only need 5 things to come to fruition instead of 50 things, because God's going to work in those 5 things. Right. And so I think that that's where Matthew really talks about cultivating the faith of, cultivating faith and spirituality. Right. And really cultivating the faith where we understand again, that God is in the details. So we can have the master plan, and we can only execute a third of it, and it's okay because God's in the details. And so he's going to execute that master plan, right? And it might look different than ours, but we can bet that it's going to be better than ours, right? And that's
usually way better than ours, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I love this topic, and I feel like we could talk about it all day, but we wanted to keep it short coming off of a holiday. And basically, you know, what our heart was to reiterate here is what Matthew is telling us, which is to find rest in Jesus, right? To turn to Jesus and allow his love and his grace to bring us peace and to strengthen us and allow him to flood us with his perspective, right? Like I was having, which another day, another topic, but I was having a very honest conversation with my husband and my sons yesterday around my thoughts for a second. And they were like taken aback for a minute. It was really hard, Crystal, because like I felt them immediately like, wow, those are really rude thoughts. Like, and I was like, I know they are. And I'm not sharing them with you because I'm proud of them. I'm sharing them with you because this is the reality of flesh. Like the reality of flesh is this is how the human mind is wired. And these are my initial thoughts, right? But God, thankfully, God course corrects our thoughts when we're finding rest in him and we're really surrendering to him. And he course corrects those thoughts. And I immediately went from like the superficial worldly thoughts of like, you know, all the things that we think to, oh my gosh, how fortunate am I and how thankful am I? And immediately I just had a perspective switch, you know? And some of it was just around simple stuff, you know, like I had a couple family members that wanted to come and they go through a lot of life challenges and they do a lot of things that scare me because they live in worlds I don't live in. And so it was like immediate, like, that's not what I necessarily wanted to do. And then immediately God changed the perspective to like, oh my gosh, if I get to host a person that is broken on Resurrection Sunday, I am blessed. I am blessed. Like my fear should not be, you know, where that person was because God is going to protect me. He's going to protect my family. And so it was just real stuff, real thoughts. And so again, I just think it's so important that we come back and we bring it all back to him. We surrender it. This is, I kind of feel like a repetitive thing that we share here on our podcast, but we get to find the comfort in his trust, and we get to find the comfort in the fact that he's going to refine us and that he's going to make everything that we do that much more impactful and that much more simple, because he doesn't want it to be draining for us. He wants to flow through us and give us life as he works through us.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think that's really beautiful when we live in that place of surrender. And then how do we show up if we're carrying that, all those burdens and all the things? How are we showing up for our family too?
Yeah.
And what are we doing for our children, our grandchildren, and the people around us? That's a really good point. So thank you for that one.
You're so welcome. And I love, thank you for saying that. Cause yesterday too, during worship, even at one point I was at the end, you know, I always stand during worship, but at church during worship, I was holding my youngest grandson and he's a packer like his grandma. He likes to eat. And so I was holding him and I was like, I don't think I'm going to stand. And then it was like the conviction just hit that I was like, I am going to stand and I'm going to hold him because my grandchildren are watching, my children are watching, and I want my daughter to see that even when, you know, I'd rather sit because the baby's heavy, this is a moment where I want to put my hands up and I want to praise God, and I can do that baby in my hand or not, you know, and just simple things like that. You just said that, and I think it's a perfect note to end on is, you know, we have to remember as women of the world, even when we come off of these things and we're tired or we're in the midst of them and we're overwhelmed, people are watching. That's a really powerful note to end on. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So, well, I love that. And I always love kicking off my Monday mornings with you. It makes it that much better. So as always, wherever you are listening to our podcast, make sure you drop a comment in, leave a review. We would love to hear from you. We would love to know where you're tuning in from. And also, if you are not in our Saved and Sassy Society yet, be sure to jump on over there. Crystal and I are working on some good stuff to, I haven't even told her, but I feel like God is saying it's time to launch a Bible study. So I feel like that is coming to the Saved and Sassy Society. And then, you know, who knows, there's possible disruptions coming to the way that our video podcast streams. So we'll see if that changes. And we have no doubt that God will bring us a new opportunity to get in front of you. So thank you as always for tuning in. And friend, I will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye.